Let me invite you now to take your Bibles, to open your Bibles, to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We've been in Galatians now the last few months, and Lord willing, we'll finish up Galatians next Sunday, and then we'll get into the holiday season and take a look at Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those themes that we see in Scripture. So we'll be in Galatians chapter 6 today, verses 6 through 10. So let's start in verse 6 today of our text. And here's what the Word of God says. It says this: "Let the one who is taught the Word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, or the family of God." Let's pray. Ask God to bless the teaching of His Word and our receiving of God's Word as we lay our lives down here this morning. Lord, we do come before You this morning and thank You, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity we have to be Your church, to gather as Your church and to worship, Lord, Your name, Jesus above every name, this morning. And I pray, Lord, Your Holy Spirit will be at work in our lives, creating new in us, changing us, and convicting us, Lord, of our places where we fall short of what You call us to be. Lord, I pray for Your living and active Word to especially be living and active in us today. And Lord, may we leave here different as a result of experiencing a risen, resurrected Savior. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that we pray these things. And God's church said this morning, amen. Now, as we've gone through the book of Galatians, Galatians has been nothing short than a full-scale assault on any perversion that is not the gospel. Galatians, Paul has been very, very thorough. This is the gospel. This is not the gospel. And he's not going to give any leeway at all to someone perverting the gospel, making anything other than Jesus Christ being crucified and our faith in Him to give us salvation. That's where he's going to draw the line. It has been very, very theologically rich. And now Paul, in this chapter especially, he's turning it from a theological to a very practical explanation. He's going to give us a lot of application here, because what he wants us to do is to know who we are, what we believe in the gospel, where we stand on that gospel, and then for us to live it out as the church, for us to walk actively in authentic gospel community. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to live out as the church? How are we going to cultivate an environment where we love another brother or sister in Christ to warn them of the danger of sin? Say, hey, I see you drowning, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to confront you, and I love you too much to just let you drown. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to bear your burdens with you. I'm going to help carry your loads. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to have the Spirit of God come in me, and together as the body of Christ, we're going to let Him produce in us. Him, the Spirit of God, promises to produce in us His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is God who's going to do those things in us. So we come standing on the bedrock of the foundation of the gospel to live out, as the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ, an authentic gospel community. The gospel creates that environment. Now Paul's going to say, here's what three things you need to do to continue to fight for that. So the first thing that Paul says, three things for us to continue to walk in gospel community. The first thing we have to do is keep giving. We have to keep giving. Now let's look in verse 6, and here's what Paul says. He says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." Now, throughout all the epistles, Paul's primary concern, and even here, his primary concern is that the Word of God is faithfully taught. That's his primary concern. There aren't sermons being preached. There aren't messages being preached. It's the Word of God being preached. So that's Paul's primary concern, is that the Word of God would be faithfully taught. Why? Because it's the Word of God that draws the hearts of men to a Savior. I mean, I can give you a motivational speech, but it ain't going to save you. I can give you my two cents on what I think about everything, but it ain't going to lead to salvation. It's the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through the living and active Word of God, that's going to create change in you. So Paul's first primary concern is that the Word of God would be preached. And so therefore, as a result, Paul is fiercely supportive of honoring and taking care of faithful leadership who rightly handle the word of truth. That's Paul's primary concern. His message here is don't take a faithful preacher and don't take a faithful teacher of the word of God for granted. You bless them. You be generous to them. You take care of them. And I have to just tell you as a church family, you do a phenomenal job of loving your pastors. You do. You do a phenomenal job taking care of us. We are very well taken care of. We are very well respected and honored. And I just want to thank you as a church family for the way that you do those things, because I know that a lot of you go out of your way to encourage us, and I really appreciate it. At the same time, though, let me say this. I am not the only one who faithfully every week prepares, studying, and prays and builds a part of my week hoping that Jesus Christ would speak to you. I don't have the corner market on teaching. So you have to understand, if you drop a kid off in the preschool, you have to understand if you drop a kid off in any of our children's ministries, you have to understand if you take your student to our youth ministries, if you take your place in any of our ministries in the life group, a part of our church family, there are people faithfully teaching the Word of God. All over the ministries of our church, there are people who are loving you, who are praying for you, who are hoping that Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, will change you and make a difference in your life. We have ministries all over the church that are doing those things, and our leaders who are preparing, our leaders who are praying, are fighting for your heart to know and to love and experience Jesus. And so here's what Paul would say. Church, it is our responsibility to honor them. All right, Paul says it is our responsibility to bless them, to be generous to them. And so think of your life group leader. How can you bless them? Think of the people who take care of your children or our students. How can you encourage them? I want to cultivate a culture that isn't here in the Bible. I want to cultivate a culture where we are honoring, blessing, and encouraging the people who faithfully teach the Word of God. We need to. It is our responsibility. We need to keep giving of ourselves to those who bless the church, who bless the body, who teach faithfully the Word of God as faithful teachers. And so I want to encourage you to just continue to give of yourself to bless those who rightly handle the Word of God. And I want to especially encourage you to look at those who might be overlooked. We have a lot of people in this church who do a lot of good ministry. And so our job, our responsibility is to bless them. So Paul says, let's create a culture of honor. Let's outdo one another in honoring one another, right? That's what the Word of God says. So let's do that. So the first thing Paul says, keep giving. But the second thing, as the body of Christ, we've got to keep growing. All right, we've got to keep growing. Look in verse 7. He says, do not be deceived, right? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Now, anytime the Bible says, do not be deceived, we need to perk up and pay attention, right? Because we have a tendency to believe we're right when we're actually wrong. We have a tendency to think we're right about something when we're actually wrong about something. And Paul says, do not be deceived, because we have a tendency to drift. We have a tendency to go this way. And so what the Bible says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Now that's an easy concept, right? Reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping, right? Planting and harvesting, investing and return. We kind of get that concept, but what does it mean here? What is Paul trying to help us understand as a church? Well, what I see, what I think Paul's saying, is that there are two ways to live. Both are hard, but only one leads in fulfillment. There are two ways to live. Both are hard, but only one leads to something that is fulfillment. I mean, look in verse 8. He says, to the one who sows to his own flesh, one way will from the flesh reap corruption. So there's the first way to live. But the second way, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. There's two ways to live. Only one leads to a blessing. The other leads to a burden. Only one leads to Christ. The other leads to corruption. Only one leads to Christ, the other leads to a curse. And so Paul says, do not be deceived. Because Paul says, what we have a tendency to do is we try to think of ourselves, and we can go all day long that this world and our flesh will somehow bring the fulfillment that you desire, but you'll always be dead wrong and disappointed. Don't be deceived. Don't try to find fulfillment in your flesh. Don't try to find fulfillment in the desires of your sinful heart. What God says is, I'm not going to be mocked. I'm not going to be played with. I'm not going to be taken lightly. God is not mocked. And so what I believe God is saying here is, you cannot be a Christian and successfully find any sense of fulfillment outside of Jesus Christ. God won't let you. You cannot be a born-again Christian with the Spirit of God living inside of you and find any sense of fulfillment outside of Jesus Christ. You just can't. You can sow all you want in your flesh. You can sow all you want in this world, but it only leads to corruption. Only leads to a dead end. It only leads to disappointment. So that's what the Bible says, that any life not lived in Christ and for Christ ends in destruction and disappointment. But that's the result. That's the result of what we sow. But the one that sows in the Spirit, what does it reap? Eternal life. Eternal life. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And so what we have to understand is God will not tolerate being mocked. God will not tolerate us playing church. God will not tolerate us finding fulfillment outside of Him. God will not tolerate that. So, church, we need to repent. We need to repent of the ways that we have not been planting the things of God into our lives. We need to repent of the fact that we spend far too much of our time on things that don't really matter. We need to repent that we spend far too much of our money on things that are tomorrow's garage sale items. Right? We need to repent of the fact that we can wake up every day, not seek or need the Lord at all, and go on about our day's business as usual and have no problem whatsoever. We need to repent of the fact that when we get our paycheck, the first thing we do is think about ourselves instead of thinking about how we can leverage our money, leverage the things God has given us to make a difference in the kingdom of God. See, what the Bible promises in verse 8 says, you will reap what you sow. And so there's a negative way to look at it, but there's also a positive way to look at it, because here's what I can see. There's a lot more riding on the line with your time, with your family, and all that God has given you than you could ever realize. I mean, think about the ways God could use those things that you invest into His kingdom. You can live one way and have corruption, or you can live one way and have life. Seems like a no-brainer, right? Seems like a no-brainer. You reap what you sow. Therefore, there's so much more riding on the line with all that God has entrusted us with. It's an eternal investment, church. So don't think that you're wasting time. Don't think that you're wasting what you're trying to do with your family. Don't think that you're even wasting the money when you give it. The gospel isn't just about our future life. The gospel is about life now. That's what he says, is you will reap from the Spirit eternal life. Now, church, I know that I have eternal life. And if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you've been truly saved. You can have that assurance that I am going to spend eternity with Jesus. But God doesn't just promise us eternal life in heaven. He promises us eternal life right now. So what that means is Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundant. Eternal life is now. We can experience the fullness and the fulfillment of Christ now. And so we don't have to wait. We can experience fulfillment. We can experience satisfaction. We can experience the living Lord Jesus Christ right here and right now. We just have to sow properly. We just have to plan accordingly. We just have to invest rightly into Jesus Christ, because we reap what we sow. So the first thing is, you got to keep giving, church. But you also have to keep growing by growing the seeds of God into your life. And the last thing he says, church, you got to keep going. You got to keep giving. You got to keep growing. But then you have to keep going. Look in verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Keep doing good. Keep making eternal investments, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense, even when the circumstances aren't there, and don't give up. Why? Well, I mean, the central spiritual theme Paul is pushing here is you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And so there's going to be an investment made, and there's going to be a return. And so it's important that you don't give up, because in due season, you will reap. You will reap. A few hundred years ago, there were some farmers in Ireland. That's a big crop in Ireland, is potatoes. So we had these farmers in Ireland, and they planted these huge potatoes, and they had these huge crops. Big old potatoes and small potatoes. They had all kinds of potatoes, and they were very successful and had an abundance amount of produce as a result of the way that they were harvesting. Well, they kind of changed the routine. What they started to do is they began to keep the big potatoes for themselves, and they started using the small potatoes to start planting. They were going to use the small potatoes as their seed. And so they began to plant the small potatoes, and as a result, they got small potatoes. And they started to go out of business. One by one, they were dwindling down because they weren't reaping the harvest that they had wanted and they had in the past before. And so they learned a very valuable lesson. If you want big potatoes, you have to plant big potatoes. That's what they had to learn. And I fear that so many Christians plant such small potatoes into their walk with God, and they wonder why they're not growing. They wonder why they reap so little. They wonder why they haven't grown in their faith. They wonder why they're not farther along and advanced in their walk with God than they were a few years ago. It's because you put in so little. You put in so little. Look at the command. Don't get tired of living for Jesus. Don't get tired of investing into Jesus. Don't get tired of Jesus investing into you. And don't get tired of following Jesus, because you are going to reap. There is going to be a return. So Jesus wants followers who hang in there, followers who don't give up, and followers who would get this patient, right? Patient for the harvest of the blessing that comes with our faithful obedience. See, we have to understand God is the ultimate farmer of our souls, and He's going to water, and He's going to harvest, but we have to be patient to wait. We have to be faithful to wait. He's going to do His part. We just have to do ours. In church, we have to do it in community. We have to do it together as the body of Christ. Look in verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us do good to all, but especially to the body of Christ. Let's do good to all, but especially to the church. We keep seeing this theme happen in this text, don't we? We keep seeing this theme where, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to love one another, to serve one another, to engage one another, to carry one another's burdens, to be there for each other even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable. And so, church, this is why we place such a high standard on church membership. This is why we place such a high standard, a high calling on belonging to the church. The reason that we want to continually and consistently push you to find community here is because that's where this happens. You don't get this in attending church. We are so glad you're here, but I promise there's more to church than just attending a service. You can find family. You can find community. You can know and be known, love and be loved, belong to a church body where they bear your burdens, where they carry life with you, and they understand that we do not give up in faith because we're doing it together. You are doing it together. You're going to find bits and pieces of it in a service, yes, but the fullness of that's found in the trenches with the other believers. Invest your life into the kingdom. Invest your life into the church. And understand that we're going to find that when we find family, when we find community, when we find a group here that we can truly, truly keep each other accountable and hold each other to the standard of Christ. That's why you can't try to make church cool. I mean, you can't. That's why you can't market a church into relevance and market a church into existence, because the gospel is not built on marketing. The gospel is built on community. The gospel is built on what we find as the body of Christ, and it's meaningful because of what this picture of communion in Christ looks like that nothing else in this world can offer. That's why we have the church, because we come together as the body of Christ, to share the burdens in Christ, to share the blessings of Christ, and to share the reaping of Christ that we have as He pours out His Spirit and His blessing on us. So Paul would tell us to do those things, to continue to walk in gospel community. So what's the Monday for us? What's the application? What's the take home? And I want you to understand, in the scripture, it's very clear. It's this. Today's opportunities determine tomorrow's outcomes. Today's opportunities determine tomorrow's outcomes. Now, what exactly does that mean? It says, while you have the opportunity, as you have opportunity, let us do these things. Let us do good to everyone. Let us especially do good to those who are the household of faith. As you have opportunity, how are you making the most of all that God has given you? As you have the opportunity, how are you making the most of the kingdom of God in your life? As you have the opportunity, how are you planting the seeds of the kingdom? How are you planting the things of God into your home? As you have the opportunity, what outcomes are you preparing for yourself? What are you preparing to reap because of what you've sown? Because you need to care. You need to care about what you're sowing and what you're planting, because there's going to be an outcome one way or another. So are you sowing accordingly? Are you planting accordingly? Are you investing accordingly? Because I promise where you are today is a result of what you planted years before. Where you are now spiritually is a result of what you invested into your spiritual life before. So today's opportunities determine tomorrow's outcomes. And so very pointedly, what are you doing with your time to make much of the kingdom of God? What are you doing with your money to make much of the kingdom of God? What are you doing with your family to make much of the kingdom of God? Are you preparing yourself for blessing? Are you preparing yourself for burdens? Are you preparing yourself for God to really truly reap what we've sown? Or are you just preparing yourself and setting yourself up for corruption and disappointment and dead ends? See, it is our responsibility, church, to rightly handle all that God has entrusted us with, and our calling is just to be faithful. I want to make an eternal investment in my church family as a pastor. I'm going to be held accountable to that. And I believe if we just continue to faithfully teach and preach the Word of God, God is going to reap what we've sown. He's going to make disciples in this church because of God's Word and not man's. I believe in my children that are a direct result. They're going to have to one day own their faith, but a direct result of me setting them up is how I pour into them right now. I have to invest in them. I have to prepare them. I have to train a child in the way he should go. Now, again, they're going to have to make that decision, but I'm going to plant in their lives right now. I have to use my money for all the kingdom of God, because here's what it comes down to. It really boils down to a heart issue, right? All this really boils down to a heart issue, because that's what Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What are you actually planting? Ask yourself, what are you actually planting? It's not a complex question. I mean, it has an answer. That has an answer. What are you actually planting? Are you sowing and planting the things of God into your life? Are you allowing the things of God to be sowed and to plant it into your life? And if you can't answer how, if you can't answer that question with a how, are you actually doing it? Are you actually investing and living for the things of God? Because one way or another, you're going to reap tomorrow what you sow today. So my challenge from the Word of God is, don't waste your life. Don't waste it. A lot of people who waste opportunities. A lot of people who waste the opportunities they have today, and they reap it later on. And I desire to see a church that is growing, that is thriving, that is making much of Jesus, that is reaching people, that this church would make a difference in this community, because we are sowing the things of God into our lives, and we're sowing the things of God into the body of Christ. And God's going to reap, church. God is going to reap. And so the only call that we have is to leverage today's opportunities for His kingdom, to make much of Jesus. God just wants our faithfulness, and the only call is on your life is to lay it down. Let's invest. Let's not waste. Let's prepare ourselves with today's opportunities for tomorrow's results, for tomorrow's outcomes. Let's pray this morning. As we come to this time of invitation, I want to encourage you, most importantly this morning, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've never truly tasted salvation, that the Lord indeed is good, that's the invitation that's first on the table. He's offering you eternal life. Not just some hope, not just some eternity, He's offering you eternal life. He would offer you a life without sin, a life without tears, a life without any pain, all in His kingdom. And He's inviting you right now to experience Him. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the first thing I'm going to offer you from the Word of God is an invitation to experience a Savior. Come lay down your burdens, lay down your sin, to experience the forgiveness of a God who adopts us as His children so that we can call Him Father. Would you come home to a Savior today? If you are a Christian, what are you doing? How are you planting the things of God into your life? Into your home, your marriage, your children, your workplace, your bank account, all that God has given you. How are you making much of the kingdom of God? Because what I see is we can make an eternal investment and reap an eternal reward when we truly invest our lives into God's kingdom. We truly let the things of God be invested into us. Let's not waste it, church. Let's not waste the opportunities while we have today. We never know how many more we have. Let's not waste it. Let's live it for the glory of God. Father, I thank you for this day, and God, I thank you for this time, and I pray that you would just work in this place by the power of your Spirit. May your Holy Spirit enlighten us and awaken us and make us known where we have fallen short of your glory, and call us, Lord Jesus, by repentance to better following you. I pray for lost hearts to be saved today. Now, you're a God who can save. Lord, you're a God who can call us out of the darkness and into your marvelous, wonderful light. And I pray, Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here who needs to make a decision for salvation, God, that you will do it today. We want to see your kingdom. We want to see your glory. And so, God, we pray for salvation in this place. I also pray, Lord Jesus, that we as Christians, as the church, would repent of the ways that we waste all the opportunities you've given us. We repent of the ways that we waste all of the ways that you give us to make much of you, Jesus. And I pray today that, Lord, we will be determined to be intentional, to invest our lives, to invest our resources, to invest our families, to invest everything that we have into you, Jesus. To invest our lives into you, Jesus. And Lord, you'll reap an eternal reward in us. I pray that we'll do that as a church to make much of you, to make much of your glory, to make much of your name, Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray these things. And God's church said this morning,